Oh, I guess before I start, I just want to, on the behalf of the family, most of them, and I can understand them not being here this morning, but they would like to thank each and every church family member for the cards and the prayers and the, that are still going up for their comfort. And I just want to let you know that they really appreciate us. Not as much as I appreciate God, though. Because this has been a very interesting, I say interesting, week, a couple of weeks. And I tell you, after I got home and everything, I struggled. I said that I have to prepare for the message this morning. And I did everything I knew how. I read for the first, I told Linda, I said, Linda, I got to lay down just an hour before I start, because I knew it was going to be a long night. So I did that. I got up. Lord, you used to put something on my mind. So I went outside, read, sought the Lord, nothing. Came back, Linda came out. I said, I should bring the TV out of here. But now Linda said, I'm not going to be here but a little while. I said, okay, I won't go through all that trouble. She came in, I went back out there. It was dark then, still nothing. So I packed my little stuff up, and my book and everything, and a tablet, and came on in the house and came in the office and shut the door, locked it. Okay, Lord, I thought I had something. So I began to work on it. And after about 2 hours, Lord said, you can't use that.
I'm sorry, I lost track. Could you please rephrase that?
Can't use that. That's automation for you to listen to everything. I hope you hear the words. So this morning, Linda said, you get anything? I said, not zilch. And I was looking through some old papers that I had, some messages from years ago. I never sought to that, but I didn't. Never about 3-4 times since I've been pastor here, which is going on 30 years. I said, I just don't like to do it. A lot of people don't mind. I said, fine, but I just don't like to do it. It's a personal thing. And I picked up a partial message, and it's what I was waiting on. The title of it is Wait on the Lord.
Amen.
So I said, that's good. I'm still waiting. So if you have Bibles, I'm going to probably read the first scriptures coming from Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. I had finished, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I said, on the Lord. So I waited long enough. Let's get going. You know, there's something about waiting on the Lord that seems like every time we hear any messages similar to that, you know, when we order something online, you typically get to choose how fast you want that package to come back. It'll cost you, depends on how fast you want it back. Well, isn't that the case when we pray? When we summing up a prayer and we think we're really serious about it, God's going to hurry up and answer it. If truth be told, we were being totally, totally honest, which you all are, most of us don't like waiting. Practically, if you are waiting for something to change, especially if you're waiting for something to change or something to happen, to make things better. Waiting can be very frustrating. I noticed that this morning on the way here. The guy was right behind me, getting ready to take the exit off of 64 to 95. He couldn't wait. Just enough space for him to squeeze on in. He squeezed on in. I said, well, You should have waited on the Lord. Have you ever been at a red light and the thing wouldn't change? It's strange that happened to me twice last week. That means that you are stuck there. And things are, it's not letting you go forward. Maybe you have been at the doctor's office. Like I have at the Veterans Administration doctors. You think Kmart was slow. When I stepped in the room for my appointment on time, I look around, place crowded. But before they call me in, the room is empty. I'm the only one left standing or sitting. It's like that. Have you ever been on the phone, had an emergency call, have a call you wanted to make to pay something? You can't get through, but they let you listen to some very pleasing music while you wait. 5 minutes is still going on. The question is, what is taking so long? Sometimes it seems like God has your life in neutral. The wheels are going, we're going, but you're not moving anywhere. It seems like God is never in a hurry like you are or like we are. We call on him and he doesn't seem like he wants to answer. How many of us, like Habakkuk in chapter 1, verse 2, it says, when he cries out, how long will I call for help and you will not hear me? Anybody felt like that before? I guess I'm the only one. But two of us, we're the only one. See, we're being honest. So you are not answering me. You are giving me no information, God, where are you? And if truth be told, in your private moment, sometimes you thought about bailing out on God. Cross your mind. You didn't do it, it just crossed your mind. We feel bad for thanking it. You didn't want to thank it. You should did not thank it, but you thunk it anyway. It crossed my mind, maybe this thing is real, because I am not hearing anything. I sure was like that last night. The pilot who was flying a plane, he had four engines. One engine went out, flew a little bit longer. The second engine went out. The third engine went out. And finally, the fourth engine quit. So the pilot put on his parachute, went to the exit door, looked back at the people, and said, folks, don't worry. I'm just going to get some help. Because sometimes it feels like God has bailed out on us. And he has left you to fly by yourself. And if not that, he has got you in a holding pattern. I was in a plane coming back from Vietnam. And we were about to land. And we couldn't land because of the amount of planes trying to land before us. Going around in circles. Somebody wrote a song about it. It says, got me going in circles. The unfulfilled dream is not over and over again in the Bible. We are told to wait on the Lord. For example, Psalms 130. One of the many examples in verses 5. It said, in verses 5 and 6, wait on the Lord. My soul does wait, and his word do I hope. Verse 6, my soul waits for the Lord. Lamentations 3:25 and 26, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. So many times this is mentioned. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Does it mean to sit in your chair and hope that something better will happen sometime, someday? What does wait on the Lord mean? Particularly when you have been waiting, and you've been waiting, and you heard nothing. Here is a definition of waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord, according to the Bible, means not to go outside of God to resolve your issues. That is the temptation. While waiting on God to intervene on your circumstances, and he is taking his time, not talking to you, to take it of yourself outside of his revealed will. And so you stop waiting on the Lord and you take matters into your own hands. In James 5, a little bit about this, verse 7 to 12. See if I can find this without this lady talking. You have it up? It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Still going some more? Okay. What did I tell you, verse 12? "Murmur not, brethren, one against another, that ye be not judged. Behold, a judge standeth before the doors. Take, brethren, for an example of suffering of the patient, the prophets who spake in the name of the Lord. Behold, we call them blessed and endured. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is full of pity and merciful. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, nor by earth, nor by the other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and that fall, and ye fall not under judgment." He says, wait on the Lord. Because if you go outside of God to make it happen apart from God, you delay God in his intervention. You think you're waiting now. Don't wait on the Lord, and you'll wait until you get your mind straight. James 5, you know you are delaying God and spending a lot of your time complaining instead of like waiting on the Lord. You know, a lot of this stuff, waiting, I don't want that. Let's go a little bit further and see if I remember good. Hannah, remember, y'all remember Hannah? Who had to wait before she got herself pregnant. Ruth had to wait for her husband. And we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. And we are still waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Apart from Christian experience at various times of our Christian lives is to wait. Waiting on the Lord means not going outside of God to resolve an issue and also obeying God as you wait, based on his revealed will from the word. Because you will never see what the plans to do in secret unless he sees that you are obeying what he has revealed. God doesn't tell you anything he is going to do but what he has told you already. He expects you to do. Until he shows you what you don't know that he will do. When you are sick, you go to the doctor. He writes your prescription. You fill that prescription. The doctor expects you in your pain. He said he expects you in your pain and to take the medicine until you get better. He doesn't tell you just to read about the medicine. He doesn't tell you I want you to meditate on this medicine. He doesn't tell you to talk to others about your medicine. He tells you what to do, to take it. If you have a complaining spirit that is not being honest about the problem, that means that you have become a whiner against God and against others because you are tied to waiting. He says, instead of God being your deliverer, he now must be your judge. In the Bible, there are many illustrations of people having to wait on God to fulfill his word in their lives. Remember Abraham and Sarah? Promise of God for a child according to his will. It got delayed because they went in the flesh. Remember Noah? Waited 120 years before he saw his first rain cloud in the sky. Martha, Mary, had to wait as Jesus intentionally delayed before the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus told the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. About the medicine. Yeah, where am I? Yeah, I got you. Still waiting on the Lord. About the medicine. He wants you to take medicine then. You have to wait for the medicine to do what it's designed to do. But the longer you take it, to take what he has written, the longer you are going to be sick and have to wait. A lot of people like to talk about what is written. Talk to other people about what is written. Think about what is written. Listen to other folk in the pulpit tells you about what is written, like y'all are doing now. But never take the medicine and wonder why they aren't getting better. Wonder why you are still waiting for divine intervention. Depending on the illness, some medicines work quick. Some take a little time. Some you have to take over time, depending on what the need to happen in your physical body. Lord is the great physician. And he looks at whether there is obedience because that affects the timing for the wait. So some of us have been waiting for years. Like God is wanted to change it in months. Now we know why it's taking so long. Some have been waiting for months for God would have changed it in weeks because he can't get us to do what is written. We will read about it, discuss it, not to act on it, which means that there is no faith, no obedience, and we wait. Waiting is involved time, depending on the situation and person, the obedience. It does involve time. I remember, and Antoine, you should remember this. When you, I think it's your first grade in school, they gave you a little Dixie cup, and it had a little tree weed sticking out, a little pine tree in it. Twan came home, and we were so happy with that little tree. Dad, let's go plant this thing. We went out in the backyard, dug a little hole, and planted that tree. Man, he was so excited. Then the next day, Antoine get up to that tree. He was looking for it to be a tree. That tree is still there. It's been 40-some years. If I had planted that tree that Friday, Twan was looking for a tree, a big grown pine tree that Saturday. It's not going to happen that way. It takes time. It takes fertilizer. It takes rain. Until the right time, that tree became a tree. That little branch became a tree. Now the tree is full grown, 46 years old. But it took time. When God is silent, he is not still. But a lot of his activity and purposes are being put together underneath the dirt until such time that his plan and purposes are revealed. In 2 Peter 2:9, God knows how to deliver his people. It is not a lack of ability. He has the ability, but it takes time. So when you attempt to complain about waiting, that is a visitation to worship while you wait, as you obey. So what God is doing while we wait, a couple of things are happening. And no one illustrates these two things like the story of Joseph. In the book of Psalms 105, 16, verses 16 and 20. And he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, was sold for the servant, for a servant. His feet, they hurt from feathers. He was laid in chains of irons. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of Jehovah tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even a ruler of the people, and let him go free. There was a timing aspect to Joseph's life. Yes. One reason that God has us waiting for various things is that he is doing something much bigger than you or me. In other words, he sent Joseph ahead of the other brothers and Jacob, his father, to prepare the way for the rest of the family to come in order and build a nation in the land of Egypt. So while Joseph was one being sent, he was being sent for a bigger purpose. That is why Joseph finally realized that God was doing what God was doing. He says, God sent me here to save all of you. One of the reasons you're waiting is because God is up to something bigger than just you. But how did he send him? Well, his brothers got jealous. They were jealous of his coat of many colors his father made for him. They had him thrown into the pit, argued the fact that he was dead. His brother sold him to the Amalekites as a slave. He was taken into slavery and sold to Egypt to Potiphar's house. Once in Potiphar's house, they took him it looked at like things were getting better until the day he was accused of rape. Even though he didn't commit the rape, he was thrown into jail again. Guess what God sent? He sent him through things that were wrong in his life. He sent him through things that were going backwards in his life. He sent him through things that were going negative in his life, one situation after the other. And he is miserable while God is sending. Joseph, not knowing whether he was going to live or die, and God was saying, I got to get you out of here, and I'm going to create a negative situation to get you out of here. If you have walked with God for any length of time, you know he doesn't mind U-turns and detours. It is rare for a Christian to run into U-turns and detours to get to their destiny, their deliverance, or their purpose. God is doing something bigger than us. Another reason God has us waiting is in verse 19. Verse 19. Until the time that his word come to pass, the word of Jehovah tried him. A test is an adverse circumstance that God allows to come in your life for your spiritual development. Because he is not merely after the thing you want him to do. He is after changing the person he is dealing with. Everybody wants the blessing. Very few want the development. A child will take candy all day, money all day, but corrections they don't want. Kids want the fun side of parenting. He says it was done to test them because of where God is taking Joseph to be second ruler in Egypt. He had to take him deeper. He had to take him through some stuff because of where he was taking him. So God tests to take us deeper and further in him. There are some men in training in the army, and part of their training was to see how far they can jump in the creek to get to the other side. So one jumped in, and he did about a quarter of the way. Another one jumped in, and He made it, oh, he did 3/4 of the way. Another one jumped in, he only made it half the distance. So the man, the sergeant says, look, y'all men are out of shape. You're way out of shape. So we're going to try this again. And when he tried it again, he put an alligator in the water. All of them made it safe. Because sometimes you need some negative stuff in your experience to take you further than you can go on your own. Test him to do what he did to Job. Does he only worship you for stuff because you made him rich? You blessed him. You gave him all this stuff. You take away that stuff and see if he still worship you. It's easy to worship him when your health is good. It's easy to worship him when your pockets are full. It's easy to worship him when he is blessing you and everything is seen to be working out okay. It's easy to worship him when all your pain and stuff is dissipated. But do you worship, God says, do you worship me for me, who I am, and not only for what I can do for you? That message was for me that I accidentally ran over this morning. Because I was having problems. One problem after the other. But I call it a good day. Because through those problems, God prevailed. And if you're waiting on the Lord, I don't care how rough, how tough, and how hard it gets. I don't care what your situation, whatever circumstance you may be in. It does not, God has a purpose. And the purpose is in your favor. So don't give up. Don't throw in the towel, like they say. Just continue to wait. Wait on the Lord. And what you do while you're waiting, just continue to worship and to praise him while you wait. Father, let's thank you for this another day, Lord.